From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 15th day of December, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the Senior Grains Analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Along the way, I'll tell you a little bit more about what Bob Thompson has to say about USDA and its agency responsibilities for agriculture, and Dave Dickey will bring you all the agricultural news for the day. And then, in just about 26 minutes, the folks at Chesapeake Energy will be here to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. It all happens on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL Public Radio from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
The numbers in Chicago on this Monday afternoon finished the day like this. The nearby March wheat at $5.20, up 7 cents on the afternoon for the soft red settlement price. May contract at 532 and 3 quarters, 6 and 3 quarters higher. And July wheat in Chicago, 545 and a half, up 6 and 3 quarters. The hard red at 543, up 4 and 3 quarters on the afternoon. March futures at 375 and a quarter in the corn pit finished a penny and 3 quarters higher. May futures at 386 and a half, up 1 and 3 quarters. And the July contract at $3.97 and a quarter, up 2 cents for the day. September corn, 407 and 3 quarters, up 2 on the afternoon as well. And next year's December at 422 and 1 half, up 2 and a half cents. Soy complex, January beans, $8.46, down 8 cents. March futures, 849 and a half, 6 and 3 quarters lower. May futures, 860, down 5 and 3 quarters. July contract at 869 and 3 quarters in the bean pit, down a nickel. And the August down 5 cents at 872. November soybeans, $8.70. Next year's settlement price, down 4 cents for the new crop soybeans. January soybean meal at 256.80, up 90. January bean oil at 30.55. Down 37. That January bean oil, or bean meal rather, was down 90 cents, not up 90 cents for the afternoon. Mercantile exchange numbers look like this on the day. Nearby live cattle, December contract, 84.15, up 82.5 cents. The January feeders at 88.12.5, 95 cents higher. And the February lean hog futures at 62.57.5, finished the day 30 cents higher. On a Monday afternoon, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil trading the January at $44.95 a barrel, down $1.33. February futures at $48.15, down 97 cents. January ethanol, $1.54.7, just about unchanged on the day. Natural gas at $5.67.5, up 18.5. And the RBOB gasoline at 103.8, down 3.9 for the day. Heating oil futures, diesel fuel, 3.1 lower at $1.46.2, and the propane down just about 7 tenths of a cent at 61.7 for the day. December gold futures at $835.40, up $16.50, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average currently trading at $85.30 is just about 100 points lower. U.S. dollar at $82.20, down 1.5, and the CRB index today stands at 227.14. That's up 1.18 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like from our own chief meteorologist, Ed Kieser. It's pretty ugly. A winter weather advisory in effect for southern Illinois until 6 o'clock this evening. A winter advisory effect for east-central Indiana until 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Southwestern Indiana until 6, and southeastern Indiana until 6 Eastern Time tomorrow morning. A winter storm warning is in effect for south-central Indiana until 7 a.m. time tomorrow morning Eastern, and for southern Illinois and southwestern Indiana from 6 p.m. tonight through 6 a.m. tomorrow. Winter storm watch in effect for northwestern Illinois from Tuesday morning through late Tuesday night with potentially heavy snow. A winter storm watch is in effect for eastern Indiana Tuesday evening into Wednesday morning. It's going to be tough out there. If you don't have to travel too much, please stay put.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
The closing market report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
You're listening to the closing market report on a Monday afternoon. This is the way the numbers settled in Chicago. A quick look back at them. March futures in the wheat pit were up 7, as was most of the rest of that pit. The corn futures were up 1 to 2 cents. Soybeans were off 5 to 8. And the cattle futures finished about a buck to an 80 cents higher for the day. Hogs were up 30 to 60 cents on the afternoon. On the line with us is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, I said if you don't have to travel, don't do it, but I'd kind of like producers to get out on the road a little bit. I'm headed into the, I guess, into the eye of this storm tonight down towards Mount Vernon this evening for our Ag Econ Summit's there tomorrow, and then we'll be in your neck of the woods on Wednesday. If you want to come out to that meeting, I'd like to introduce you out at the Interstate Center. That's on Wednesday, and we'll be Thursday in Galesburg and Friday up at Sycamore. So it looks like, a lot of winter weather to travel through, but we'll make it fine with the Ag Economist, and we'll try to divine what farmers ought to be doing. I bet they've been asking you a lot of questions in the last week or so as we head towards the end of the month and the end of the year.
Yeah, if you get a chance to go to those programs, I know you got to watch weather and so forth. That's more critical, but boy, if you can get to it, I sure go to. I've gone to those in the past, Todd, and they're real informative and some real good conversation there. But yeah, the biggest question we're looking at right now is how high can we go here on this bounce? It seems like a lot of producers we visit with clear across the Midwest indicate they still have some more cash grain to sell. They've had their hands in their pocket here for some time, but with some more expenses coming due here after the first of the year, there's going to have to be a transition from actual physical cash grain into actual cash dollars at some point in time. Now, this might be a little bit more reflective in the basis levels, especially if the futures continue to sort of try to creep higher here for a little bit, Todd.
Do you think that in this given year that we look much more like we have seasonally historically than we have in the last 3 to 5 years?
We're going to try to make a run of it. We've had good markets going into February and the spring there, especially during the crop insurance time window. That's been quite rewarding to see some higher prices. But we got to remember, though, the overall big picture is still in question. We're still in sort of a deflationary atmosphere, per se. Until we sort of turn things around here domestic-wise, as far as the economy goes or worldwide economy, it's going to be awful hard to get an extended up move. What would maybe produce an extended move is if corn acres are much lower than ever anticipated, or we run into some adverse weather in the southern hemisphere real quick, or if we have some adverse weather here in the U.S. So the supportive features have turned back to what we've been accustomed to in the past, probably more weather-related over the near term here, due to the fact that it's just going to take a lot to get the economy turned around and resume investor confidence.
Now, what did you make of the outside up day in the corn pit on Friday for the December contract, and how does that bode for, and I know it's expired, of course, but how does it bode as a lead option now?
Well, when we see the lead option expire, oftentimes the next contract goes back and tries to fill the gap, or goes back to the point where the lead option expired here. It wouldn't surprise me to see some narrowing of that. We had a huge week last week. When you take the lows we made a week ago last Friday to the highs we recorded here today and last night, corn bounced just about 90 cents and beans over a dollar off those lows. So we are in a position here where the short-term indicators are a little overbought here. The way the market closed today off the highs that were recorded suggests that we can sort of back and fill. So if you're going to be a technician, you could probably look for some type of retracement back to the downside. That being said, we've got a huge event here midweek with an OPEC meeting and then what they're going to do as far as production cuts. And that might shed a little light on the whole commodity sector as we see what they come up with and, more importantly, how the trade reacts to those numbers.
Anything that we ought to be on the lookout from South America in terms of their crop?
Well, gosh, it depends which weather guy you listen to. For the most part, it appears that Argentina's turning a little on the dry side and is going to stay that way for the next 10 days. However, Brazil has several chances of some moisture here as we go 5 to 6 days out. So that's sort of going to be the main market maker as far as the beans go here is what type of weather forecast they have and what type of yield forecast you put on that southern hemisphere crop.
What are you hearing about how much fertilizer they used, whether they put as many acres in or not? We started to see some of the stats come out of South America.
We'll hear more of that. Brazil is projected to be 91% planted. They're still chugging along here. It'll be a couple more weeks before we hear the whole story. But yes, acreage is unchanged, a little higher. But the main thing was the inputs and also the availability to get fungicides to fight soybean rust as we move in into the later part of their growing season. That's going to be the key factor more than anything because the rust has been the main issue over the last 3 to 5 years.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
Dynamic market. I'm not going to be here next week, so hopefully Pete or somebody will be filling in, and would like to wish everybody a happy holiday.
All right. Thanks much, Kurt.
Very good.
Bye-bye. Have a happy holiday to you, too. Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Monday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Dave Dickey will be here in a moment to take us all the way through the agricultural news for the day. A couple of reminders. Don't forget to visit our website. You can hear these programs anytime you like at willag.org. And that we have a brand new way for you to hear the programs, radio, website, and by telephone, at least the futures markets. It's an abbreviated version, but if you miss it and you'd like to hear a shortened version, you can do that at 217-333-3434.
In agricultural news, the EPA has announced a rule change that will allow so-called concentrated animal feeding operations not to disclose to authorities when air emissions of hazardous substances like ammonia and hydrogen sulfide exceed certain levels when the source of those emissions is manure. The agency's move in the works for a year has stirred the opposition from environmental groups and some members of Congress who worry that the EPA lacks information and a clear strategy for regulating mega farms. The EPA said in a statement on Friday that the rule change would enable authorities to better focus their attention on hazardous substance releases that require a response while reducing reporting burdens on America's farms. Commodity Futures Trading Commissioner Bart Chiltern, who is also leading the Obama transition team at USDA, says the CFTC needs new authority from Congress to require transparency in over-the-counter derivatives. Chiltern said he would encourage Congress to, quote, act expeditiously to give the CFTC the authority to address the type of excessive speculation and leveraging seen in both the on- and off-exchange markets, and to make both the regulator and the regulated more accountable and responsible. Japan is reporting its sharpest crash in business sentiment in 3 decades today, and the industrial output in China grew at its slowest pace since 1999, the latest signs of damage done to Asian economies by the global crisis. The Bank of Japan's Tanken survey gauging big manufacturers' sentiment fell to minus 24, the biggest fall since the oil crisis of the 1970s and the bleakest outlook since 2002. Meanwhile, China's annual industrial output growth slowed to 5.4% in November, the weakest in at least 9 years for a non-holiday month, and down from 8.2% in October. Add the communist nation of Cuba to a growing list of countries that are turning to bioengineering to help boost agricultural production. The director of the country's state-run Institute for Genetic Engineering and Biotechnology says the government plans to issue licenses to research labs that will allow them to undertake work aimed at increasing yields of a number of crops that now are imported. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL, Public Radio for the Farming World. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of this program and of the 2008 Farm Economics Summits put on by the College of ACES Agricultural Economists. We'll be on the road this week in Mount Vernon, Bloomington, Galesburg, and Sycamore. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and I hope to see you at one of those events. You can always walk in. They're day-long events. Farm Economics Summits in Mount Vernon, Bloomington, Galesburg, and Sycamore this week. My thanks to Dave Dickey for taking my program here on the Closing Market Report. He'll guide you through the rest of the week, and then he'll do the same in January when I'm on the road the first full week of January and a portion of the second week with the Corn and Soybean Classic Series. That's the crop production and protection side of our programs. Visit the IPM website at www.ipm.uiuc.edu/conferences for complete details about the Corn and Soybean Classic Series coming up in the month of January. Farm Economic Summits, of course, are this week. Now, speaking of economics and, well, policy to some extent, let's check in with what Bob Thompson's been up to. He's an ag policy expert right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus. He says that while remaining the dominant agricultural agency in Washington, D.C., USDA is fast becoming just one of many governmental institutions having a direct impact on the nation's farmers. I'll have more in a moment. When most people think of USDA or the federal legislation that funds it, commonly called the Farm Bill, they usually think about farm subsidies, says Bob Thompson. That's what he told a room full of interested students, professors, and a few farmers on the University of Illinois campus in early December. But the reality, says the ag policy expert, is that more than half of USDA budget outlays are spent on nutrition programs. He says that was the case in the 2002 Farm Bill, and even more so in the 2008 version of the legislation.
62% of all spending of U.S. Department of Agriculture was for food nutrition programs, principally the food stamp program, WIC, school lunch program, and several other feeding programs. In the new Farm Bill, it's 68%, and I will bet you by the time it's fully implemented, in this current economic crisis situation in this country with rising unemployment, food stamps will be one of the principal federal programs for economic assistance to unemployed Americans during this economic downturn.
Consequently, the U of I's Thompson expects the 68% figure to grow substantially from that budgeted allotment before the Food Conservation and Energy Act of 2008 expires. You'll note that the words farm or ag weren't even in the name of the last farm bill. There may be a good budgetary reason for that. Those farm subsidies everyone associates with the bill were more than halved from 2002 to 2008.
In the 2002 farm bill, the commodity programs, that is the subsidy programs, were 23% of the total spending of the Department of Agriculture, and other things took 15%. In the new Farm Bill, commodity programs are down to 11%.
That's right. Just 11% of the USDA expenditures are categorized as farm subsidies. It means, says Thompson, that many agencies will have fingers on U.S. agriculture in the future. These include U.S. EPA, Department of the Interior, Office of the United States Trade Representative, Department of Energy, Department of Commerce, State Department, USAID, Department of Defense, National Security Council, Health and Human Services, Homeland Security, FDA, and the OMB, the Office of Management and Budget. It's what Thompson calls the 800-pound gorilla in Washington that influences everybody's life. The point here is that agriculture is no longer consolidated in one agency, but remains a vital component of nearly all the easily recognizable U.S. bureaucratic institutions. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. Time to check the cash grain markets. Brian Stark of the Andersons right here in Champaign County is with us today. Good afternoon to you, Brian.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Farmers interested in moving grain?
I think a little bit. I mean, we saw a nice 60-cent move last week, 60-plus cents. Had a nice little uptick this morning. Had a lot of people put in some orders to sell some stuff on the open and got corn sold up 16, which puts you up about 75 cents on the week. And I think, you know, not knowing where we're headed in the long term, with given the demand equation, I think the producer is wise and taking a little bit of advantage of the market and rewarding it for its nice little uptick here the last 5 or 6 days.
Less interested in selling soybeans, and is that wise?
Well, at this point, I would say yes and no. I would say yes or less interested. Wise, maybe not. I think, grand scheme of things, all eyes are going to be pointed on South America and the fact that people, a lot of them have hypothesized they're cutting back on fertilizer and potential rust application. So their production, whereas maybe the acres didn't decline as much as people thought. The actual production as a whole, I think, is what's being watched very closely, given the fact our prices have gotten so cheap. So people seem to be a lot tighter holder of soybeans right now than corn.
How do you envision the months of January and February unfolding?
I think right now the farmer, the first thing he's going to do is he's going to look on rallies to sell his DP or storage grain in the elevator. I think the last thing he looks at is what's on the farm. The other thing that he has to consider is the quality. The one thing we heard this fall, being that it was a longer fall, later fall, and also a wetter fall, the quality hasn't been as good as far as we've seen the last couple of years. So quality may force some decision-making here over the course of the first quarter of the next year.
As an elevator operator, and just forgetting the price at this point, how would you like them to view that quality? When do you want them to bring it in?
Well,
the sooner the better, I assume.
Obviously, sooner rather than later. I don't think this crop is a crop that a producer's probably going to want to hold late in the summer, like July, August this year, like we've been accustomed to seeing a good holding crop we've had the last couple of years. So obviously, the sooner the better if they notice issues. But I think just the main announcement is, or just to keep aware. I think this is a year you need to pay close attention to what you have on the farm and watch your condition and quality.
On the quality note, how are the piles holding up around Anderson?
The piles are all picked up, Todd.
Oh, they're
so
gone.
They're
oh,
in
gosh,
great shape. You betcha.
I don't know. Well, they were there pretty recently. When
yeah,
did you get rid
about
of
a week
them?
Or so ago, we finished cleaning her up.
Oh boy, you had me. I usually go by there. I pay kind of attention to what's happening to this pile, but you must have had a whole load of trains come in.
Yes, we did.
All right, and your bids for the day?
360 cash corn, cash soybeans, 831.
Okay, thanks much.
Thanks, Todd.
Mm-hmm, that's Brian Stark. He's with the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Somebody from that grain elevator joins us each and every Mondays on the Closing Market Report in 2 minutes. We'll talk with the folks up at Chesapeake Energy. They're on the 22nd floor of the Boeing building in Chicago, Illinois. They'll give us a complete update of what the weather's going to look like as I travel throughout the state of Illinois on this week for the Farm Economic Summits in Mount Vernon and Bloomington, Galesburg, and Sycamore. I sure do hope we see you there. Stay home if you have to, but I'd kind of like to see you out tomorrow and the rest of the week. 2 minutes, we'll be back.
It is National Lemon Cupcake Day. The exact origin of the lemon remains a mystery, although it is presumed lemons first grew in China, northern Burma, and India. Lemons were introduced to the Americas by Christopher Columbus in 1493. On this day in agricultural history in 1686, Isaac Walton died. He is mainly known for The Contemplative Man's Recreation, which is one of the most frequently published books in English literature. It is a literary discourse on the pleasures of fishing. In 1791, the new United States of America ratified the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments to the U.S. Constitution, confirming the fundamental rights of its citizens. The First Amendment guarantees freedom of religion, speech, and the press, and the right to peaceful assembly and petition. In 1939, nylon yarn was sold to hosiery mills to make women's stockings, marking the first use of commercial yarn for apparel. The DuPont product enabled a record number of ladies' hose to go on sale for the very first time in May of 1940. And in 1995, the leaders of the European Union were gathered in Madrid to discuss the shape of a single European currency. They decided to name it the euro. And that's this day in agricultural history.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of Public Radio from here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Time to check in on the agricultural weather forecast on a Monday afternoon. We're joined by Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago. Hello to you, Mark.
Hi there, Todd.
I don't think you have good news for my travels as I'm out on the Illinois Ag Economic Summits this week. We're leaving this evening, Daryl Good and I and a few others, about 5:30. Headed for Mount Vernon, and the good news is it appears that we have a watch expiring about then, but a warning picks up, doesn't it?
Well, down across that area, far southern Illinois, it looks to be kind of a wintry mix, freezing rain mixed in with sleet and snow. It does look like the heaviest totals and more significant icing accumulations will be further south, heading into actually more so Kentucky and on into western Tennessee. But certainly you can expect some travel difficulties here as you head down south here later on today.
Oh, yay, that's good news. I don't mind traveling in the bad weather, really don't. And there are a couple.
You're used to it, Todd,
well,
right?
Well, I know. There are a couple. We'll have a couple of truckloads, big suburban loads of us going down, and that'll be fine, but it gets to be really slow sometimes in the winter months when we do this. And then how about the rest of the week? Tomorrow we're in Mount Vernon. We travel back here home tomorrow night, and then Wednesday we'll be headed to Bloomington and then north from there for the rest of the week.
Well, if your timing works out fine here, it looks like you potentially miss at least a snow system here that will be producing some significant snows, mainly across the northern sections of Illinois, and this is going to take place as we go through the day tomorrow, and Iowa and in the southern Wisconsin is also the area seeing, in general, about 3 to 5, 6 inches of snow across that area. Kind of Bloomington is on the far southern end of it, so it doesn't appear here that there's going to be as much snow there as in areas further up north towards like Rockford, DeKalb, and those sections of Illinois. We do need to watch the longer term, at least on Thursday night into Friday. That is the time frame of yet another storm system here moving across the state. Yeah, at this time, it appears at least most of the precip should be in the form of rain across much of Illinois.
Oh, well, I got to thank you. I don't mind driving through the middle of it. It's like, I mean, through it, skirt at one side and then skirt at the other. I kind of like that idea. That's all right, so I appreciate that. Tell me, we better touch on South America very quickly before I let you go. Maybe a minute or so.
Sure, Todd. Looking specifically at South America, the area to keep a very close eye on is southern Brazil. That area has not received much rain here now over the past 6 weeks. In addition, temperatures have been on the hot side at times during the past several weeks. That's allowed soil moisture to quickly be depleted. And coming up, it looks like another warm, dry week here this week with the next opportunity for some rain in southern Brazil, not until the middle to end of next week. So it looks like overall crop stress will continue to increase over the next week and a half time frame here. You move further south into Argentina, actually that area is in better shape, although there are some dry pockets, particularly across the northern and northeastern section of their grain belt. In other words, they're in a similar pattern as southern Brazil here. So some areas to watch here with, I guess, the focus of attention being southern Brazil.
Okay, thanks much.
You're welcome, Dad. Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye. And that is this edition of the Closing Mark Report. We were talking with Mark Russo from Chesapeake Energy. I'm Todd Gleason.